This is Chris, and hey, I want you to make a plan for your money and learn what the Bible has to say about money when you order Financial Peace University with a copy of the Legacy Journey ebook by Dave Ramsey. And get this incredible deal for only $99 when you use the promo code Chris Brown with no spaces at stewardship.com.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. This is where we talk about your life, we talk about your money, we talk about your relationships, and we talk all about how to steward this life God's way for God's glory. The God's way is talking about the scriptures. How do we, all these issues, all these things that we have internally and externally, how do we process those through the scriptures? What the scriptures tell us to do, and not for our glory, not for our neighbor's glory, not for our spouse's glory, but for God's glory. That's what this show is all about. Folks, I am so excited. I can't wait to tell you about our guest today. But before we get started, I do need to let you know about an amazing deal at stewardship.com. Now, many of you have asked for a heads up whenever there are deals on Financial Peace University or any of our other resources. And right now, we have an incredible deal on our, not only FPU, our Financial Peace University, but also on the Legacy Journey book written by Dave Ramsey. Right now, we're offering both of those resources together for only $99 at stewardship.com, but only when you use the promo code Chris Brown with no spaces. Again, that's the Financial Peace University and the Legacy Journey ebook together for only $99 when you use the promo code Chris Brown with no spaces. So be sure to check that out today at stewardship.com. And another thing many of you have been keep saying is I definitely need to get my spouse or my friend to one of your live events. Well, we are doing our part and we are hopping on planes all over the place to bring events to your area. Check out these fantastic events at stewardship.com. I am about to introduce you to an amazing person, for somebody who I have looked up to for a very long time, and she's in studio. She's sitting right next to me. I'm kind of giddy about it. Folks, Christine Kane is in the studio with me, and I'm pretty jacked about it. She's going to be speaking at one of our events coming up very, very soon. You're going to hear more about that in the show, but Christine Kane, thank you for joining us.
Hey, Chris, I'm so honored to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, so she will be speaking, folks. She'll be speaking at the Business Boutique. You've heard me talk about that event. It's going to be May 13th and the 14th out there in Phoenix and in Dallas as well on May 20th and 21st. All that information is found at stewardship.com. And today, what I want to do is I want to talk with Christine about a lot of different things, but the first thing I want to talk to her about is her new book. She's got a new book coming out that you can pre-order right now, and we will provide a link for that, but it is called Unashamed, and here's the tagline. And I don't know if this resonates with you, but I'm thinking it probably does. Drop the baggage, pick up your freedom, fulfill your destiny. And nobody knows that better than Christine Kane because of her past and because of what she's done with that past and how she continues to inspire us with her life and with her ministries. And it's pretty cool to have her in studio. So, Christine, as we start off this broadcast, what is it that has you so excited about the Business Boutique? And then we'll get into the book.
Oh, I am so excited to just see women step up and into their potential. And there's so much inside so many women lying dormant. And I think that we're going to help to activate a lot of that at the Business Boutique. And, you know, God doesn't put stuff in you for no reason. He puts it in you so he can get it out of you. And it's to our Father's great glory that we bear much fruit. So I think the way that we can help to demystify what it is to start a business, and it's so practical and as well as inspirational, I think there's not a woman that can't be helped from it. So I'm pumped up.
Well, of course, you guys know that we've talked about this event several times. Lisa Turkhurst will be there as well, along with Rachel Cruz. Of course, it's Christy Wright's event. brought to you by Ramsey Solutions, and Rabbi Daniel Lappin will be there. That'll be a lot of fun, and several other speakers, so make sure you check that out, again, at stewardship.com. But here's the deal, Christine. I talk to people all the time on this show and off the air sometimes who are struggling with a lot of baggage. They're carrying around a lot of shame, and on this show, we talk a lot about finances, and they have got a lot of baggage, but I can hear it in their voice, and I'll actually call it out. That they'll preface their question when they call in with, well, I just did this really bad thing, or we made this really bad decision. And there's this tone of, you know, and I try to tell them, we peek at the past, but we focus on the future. But they are just in the middle of a ton of shame. And I really am hoping that you can speak to that. Let's spend some time on speaking to that and hopefully encouraging folks.
Well, definitely. And I think Jesus came to lift shame off people. Mm. And not just the shame of what others have done to us, but the shame of what we've done ourselves. And I think sometimes that's the shame we carry more than anything, is like, you know, we think in our minds, oh, I can't believe, you know, that I did something so stupid or so foolish. And hopefully this book will look at keys, the difference between guilt and shame. There is some guilt is healthy guilt, because it'll help you not go back and make the same mistake again. But we're talking about you, who and you do. What you did is not who you are. So you might have done something that was foolish, but that doesn't make you a foolish person. And I think the more we can separate our who and do, but what happens when we don't, and how shame comes on top of us, especially when it comes to our finances and any area of our life, is that we tie who we are into what we do. And so we need to separate those things and say, okay, what I did was not great, but who I am has not changed. I'm a son or a daughter of the King. And now that I know who I am, I can begin to make right choices and change my patterns of anything, spending or whatever it might be, yeah. So that I can act in alignment with who I am.
Yeah. Now, this book is not, you know, really based on necessarily a ton of research, even though there's some research involved, I'm assuming, but it's most based on your story.
Yeah.
And the shame that you carried for a while.
Sure.
Walk us through that. Walk through just the heartbeat behind the book.
Well, I think there's a lot of different shame. You know, I mean, Chris, in sort of the Cliff Notes version of my own story, was I was left in a hospital unnamed and unwanted when I was born. My birth certificate doesn't have a name on it. It says child's name, unnamed, number 2508 of 1966. That I was sexually abused for 12 years of my life. That messes with you, messes yeah. with every bit of your identity and who you are, you know. And it really, I think I was quite classic, that for most abuse victims, you begin by thinking what is being done to me is wrong. And then eventually, after it continues for a decade, you start to think, I'm wrong. That's why it's being done to me. Mm-hmm. And so there's something wrong with me. That's why they're doing this to me. And that thought of there's something wrong with me, I carried through so much of my life, and it was my default mechanism. There's something wrong with me. And so go into hiding. If I could minimize myself, if I could hide myself. And I came from a very staunch Greek Orthodox culture. And, you know, my parents, second generation migrants, if you saw my big fat Greek wedding, that's my big fat Greek life. But, you know, the goal for a Greek mother was that her daughter would marry young, have lots of babies, cook lots of baklava, and drink lots of coffee. And I say to people, I was a Greek mother's nightmare, in that I had a sense of vision, of purpose. I thought, you know, I want to get married and have kids, but there's more than just that. My mother wanted me to love dolls. She would take me to Kmart and leave me in the Barbie doll section and find me in the book section. She took me to ballet classes and come and pick me up after ballet. I'd be on the soccer field with the boys, you know. It was kind of, I was always what she didn't want. And so I grew up with a lot of shame that, I'm not the daughter that you want. She would always say to me, Chris, no, you're too smart. No man's ever going to want to marry you. And I tell one story in the book where, I would come home, and in Australia, our grading system was grade 1 to 5, grade 1 being the top, like an A, grade 5, you know, being the lowest. And I would come back with straight ones, but because I didn't want to cope with the lecture I was going to get, I would change them to 4s and 5s, so that I wouldn't hear, you're too smart, no one's ever going to want you, no, you're never going to get married. So I talk about a lot of that shame, that, you know, some of the challenges of even, in some of the church world, of being a woman gifted a certain way, talented a certain way, and every room I'm in has, you know, been a room that's been full of men that have done things a certain way. And yeah. So just how inadvertently you can just put shame on people for – for just who they are without really realizing it. So I hope that a lot of the stories that are going to shock people, the kind of stories I use, I have never written such a deeply personal, intimate, or transparent book, but not just talking about the shame abuse, the shame that is connected to abuse or adoption. I'm talking about the shame of being just who I am, like a lot of us. You know, the world either tells you you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not rich enough, you're not talented enough, you're not gifted enough, or it says to you, who do you think you are? Or it's, you know, and it's kind of like those messages that we get all the time, whether it's in the secular world, whether it's from Hollywood, whether it's from magazines, whether it's from the church world. Eventually you just go into hiding because it's just too much. And, you know, I start with the whole story, the first recorded conversation in scripture. The Lord asks, where are you? I think he's still asking, hello, where is the you that I created you to be? And our answer is always, I was vulnerable, I was naked, I was afraid and ashamed, and so I hid. And we spend so much of our lives hiding from God. We occasionally come out and visit with him. We visit him on Sunday for an hour. But the Bible says, you know, the word became flesh. I love how Eugene Peterson says it, and moved into the neighborhood. God's like, I don't want visitation rights. Prisoners have visitation rights. You're not a prisoner. I want invasion rights. I want to come and dwell amongst you. And I think I explain a lot of this in the book, is that we're giving him visitation rights once a week, or maybe Wednesday night as well, if we're a really good Christian. And he goes, please don't visit. I want to come in. And, you know, Chris, if you've got a visitor, and this is how a lot of us keep our Christianity. I mean, I'm talking, you know, just a regular, if we're maybe married or got kids or single and struggling through it all, but we still do our religious duty and don't realize how much baggage we're carrying. And when you have a visitor come to your house, especially, you know, if you're a woman, you're going to clean the lounge room, you're going to go and change the sandpaper in the bathroom and put nice soft toilet paper, you know, because the visitor's coming. You're going to make it all. You're going to get the good cookies, but the kids can't touch it because that's for the visitors.
No.
But the visitor comes for the appointed time. Everyone acts really nice and then they leave. Well, a lot of us do that with church. You know, like we're having a full-on fight with our spouse. Well, not here in America, just in Australia. You know, a full-on fight.
A discussion.
On the way to church. I mean, you've nearly murdered your children in the back. You pull into the church parking lot, and that spirit of hypocrisy, it comes upon us all. Yeah. And so we get to the foyer, and someone's going to hand you a bulletin, and they're like, how are you? You're like, I'm blessed. You know, I've been sanctified and justified by the blood of the Lamb. Now, you've nearly killed everyone. You get into worship. You're like, you know, I worship you, God. When I get home, I'm going to kill everyone. And then you get in the car. You barely get in the car, and you just off you go, World War III. All like, oh, I made it. Again, just like you do with a visitor. As soon as they leave, you're like, everyone blows up at home. And God goes, you know, could we maybe move beyond that? If we can drop the baggage, I can come into your Monday. I can come into your Tuesday. I can come into your Wednesday, your Thursday, your Friday. I can come into your finances. I can come into your health. I can come into your relationships. I can come into every realm of your life. But most of us have locked God out of the very places that only he can bring healing, because we're so ashamed of those places of darkness. But only his light is going to bring wholeness into those places. So we have to be vulnerable enough. He already knows. He's just waiting for us to give him the key to come in and open up and bring his light into those dark places.
You had mentioned a little bit about your past, and I've told you a little bit about my past, and those of you who are listening in on the radio or the podcast or the website, you've heard me tell my story on here. When did you decide enough is enough in regards to the shame? And you said, you know what? I'm going to kick the devil in the teeth with this.
I could say, you know, 2 weeks before my 33rd birthday is when I found out I was adopted, you know, and a whole other story in itself. It was soon after that. I had been telling some of my story, a very edited, as in like one sentence. I used to say, and I was abused once, you know, like that was kind of the sentence, but even that was enough to connect with. I was doing high schools, you know, youth worker. That was enough to connect with a whole lot of people, because back in my day, you know, I'm as old as the dinosaurs. No one talked about it. The word abuse, no one even talked about that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So the very fact that I would put language around it in one sentence was enough to take a lid off a whole lot of can of worms. But I found that I had to find more freedom, because, you know, hurting people hurt people. Wounded people wound people, and only healed people heal people. So the degree to which I'm committed to ongoing healing in my life is the degree to which the Lord magnifies my voice in this area to bring healing to others. So I'd say around about 34, and I was already preaching and teaching, you know, doing my thing. At that point, when it was like, I am going to get whatever help I need to allow God to go to those places, and we are going to deal with this, because I don't want to be a psycho wife. I don't want to pass this on generationally to my children. You know, Chris, I can't do anything to change the past. I was abused. I was adopted. I was abandoned. I was mistreated very, very badly. And the fact is, the blood of Jesus does not give you amnesia. So, you know, a lot of Christians are kind of like, let's ignore it and put a lid on it. Well, it doesn't give you amnesia. It happened. But it does give you a life beyond your past.
Yeah.
And freedom is not a personality type. It's not like, well, Chris Kane's strong. It's a blood type. It's the blood of Jesus that sets us free. So I had to make a decision that I was going to certainly do whatever it took to get freedom. And I would never have guessed then that God would use me to head up a global anti-trafficking organization, that not only did he free me, but now he's using me to free others, both spiritually through the books and the tapes, but also physically through slaves and through the work of A21 and women who have struggled with leadership through Propel Women. You know, it's kind of like all of those, every area that the devil tried to use to destroy me and put shame on me is the very area that God is now turning around, Romans 8:28, and working together for good, which he could do for anyone listening to this. Sometimes we think those things, the devil wants to shame us and say, you are now disqualified. God can't use you because you've been abused or you've been hurt or you've failed or you've made mistakes or you've been broken. But I often find it's those very things that are the things that qualify us to do the thing that God has called us to do. So what the devil wants to disqualify you with is what God has qualified you with. So every area of my life that the devil has tried to heap shame on me in a big way has been turned around for the glory of God and just blown my mind with what God's doing.
Well, folks, we are listening to Christine Kane here on Chris Brown's True Stewardship and international speaker. She is the co-founder of an anti-human trafficking organization that she just referred to, the A21 campaign. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. Her new book that I've referenced and we're talking about is entitled Unashamed, Drop the Baggage, Pick Up Your Freedom, and Fulfill Your Destiny. You talked about shame, and I can't help but think that many of our callers who are calling in have got this shame. Where do you think the source is? Where's it coming from originally? And, you know, is there certain environments that we're putting ourselves in where the shame's coming from?
Yeah, I think, well, obviously, the bottom line, the source has never changed. It's from the enemy himself. You know, yeah. He came into the garden and said, you know, did God really say? And I think that in many different ways is the same source. Every time we listen to the lies of the media, every time we listen to the naysayers of people around us, every time we believe the lies of what people have said, perhaps a parent that said, I wish you were never born, you're an accident, you're a loser, you'll never amount to anything, a teacher that said you're dumb, you're stupid. I mean, normally we allow that one word or that one season or that one chapter to define our whole life. We ruminate over that lie. And that, yeah. You know, the enemy uses people, unfortunately. The lie stems from the same place. You're not enough. You're a loser. You should be ashamed of yourself. You are ashamed to this family. That lie, did God really say that you are a child of God, created in his image, filled with passion, purpose, and potential? The lie really stems from the same place. But you can do some things to mitigate that. Like, I've just made a decision in my life to block the naysayers from my life, you know, in many ways, including, you know, in the social media world, when you've got a profile as much as me, people go, you know, well, how do you deal with the negative thing? I think I don't read them, so I don't know. So right. I just have made some decisions that there are certain things that I'm going to have the right people speaking into my life. So of course I can be challenged and corrected and I'm accountable,
yeah.
But you're going to have people that are for you that are going to do this. You're not going to have the devil's advocates to try to take you down. You need to talk through, you know, you've got to make the truth of the word of God take precedence over the facts of your circumstances or what's happened to you. You've got to make what Jesus has done for you greater than what anyone has said to you. That is not easy. That takes a lot of work. To this day, the renewing of my mind, being in the word of God, immersing myself with it, is the single most thing I do. I barely watch any television. Not because I'm so pious, but I'm only ever one thought away from going back to how I used to think. I am that utterly dependent on God, on his word, and on the Spirit of God, because I was so broken. You know, Jesus saved my soul, but the word of God transformed my mind, and I wouldn't be in my right mind right now. And I'm only ever one thought away from going back. And so I can't start down that pattern because I know where that spiral leads me. And I am just so, you know what, am I so healed that I don't need Jesus? Well, of course I do. And so it's just, I'm more aware of my limp. And so because I know that I can still sort through life, but I know what I can do and what I can't do, what I can listen to, what I can't listen to. And so I think a lot of us, we either continue to read materials or listen to things that reinforce that shame in our life rather than go, what's the truth say? And what are some good people around me that are going to reinforce the truth of the Word of God?
Folks, what would happen in our lives if we were to apply what Christine just said? What would happen if we were to have that kind of perspective? And of course, we're never going to be perfect. You know, we're going to have those tough days. But what would happen if we were to put maybe some systems in place that walk us? She talks about filtering out naysayers and filtering out TV. What are some things that we can do that can get us to be victors over our past and not victims? Very, very good insight here from Christine. You'd mentioned A21. Many of us are partnering with you on A21, and many of our listeners are very concerned about A21 and all the impact that you are having. Give us an update on A21 and how we could be praying for it.
Oh, please. Yeah, all the time. You know, the Lord has been very gracious to us in that there has been great, great growth. We've had some historic legal cases with, we're very committed to not just providing an ambulance service at the bottom of the cliff to mop up the mess, but to put some nets at the top to say, come on, we've got to stop some of the systems that actually enable trafficking to take place. So the more traffickers we prosecute and convict and get sentenced, the more effective it is, because it's, you've got to make it unattractive for them to want to traffic human beings. You know, in one legal case, just to give an example, in Greece, the judge actually asked one of the traffickers that was on trial, why do you do this? And he said, well, the consequences for trafficking women is a lot less than trafficking drugs or guns. So I won't go to jail, and the fine is less, and they're just like animals. You can just kick them and they'll do what they want. I mean, just horrific thinking. And so we are very committed to doing what we can to make sure that those guys, you know, you take one trafficker and put him in jail, that you potentially have cut out 250 girls out of the supply chain. So there's a lot to be said for that, but that takes a lot of work.
Yes.
There's no doubt about it. You know, that it's long-term commitment, and you've got to keep plowing that ground. And we've got offices literally all over the globe now, which is fantastic. 6 new offices this year opening, and the Lord's been very gracious there. Many, many girls being rescued, dozens and dozens, and restored. And what I love is, I think this really goes in a lot with kind of the ethos of this company, that we've got a lot of young women that, you know, are going into micro-enterprise that are developing ways of being able to stay out of that cycle of poverty by starting small businesses, whether it's chicken farms and eggs and knitting scarves, so that we can continue then to enable them to build a life and a future. And really, that's the hope of a lot of these nations. That's the hope. The small business owner that's a woman who's going to love her family, she's less likely to drink the money away or to spend it on prostitutes. You know, unfortunately, that's kind of, if you're just looking at raw data, she's going to want to make sure that her kids are set up to win. So the woman is a very big key in a lot of these situations. So I think the fact that we're helping with the education process through schools, we have a program called Bodies Are Not Commodities to teach people that human bodies are not commodities to buy and sell, because many of these countries, prostitution is legal. In Greece, 70% of all men use prostitutes, and a rite of passage for a 13-year-old boy is that his grandmother would take him to a brothel and that's, welcome to manhood. Crazy. So you've got to change a whole psychology of a nation. So the schools programs do that.
That is great. Well, we've got about 30 seconds here, and I wanted to ask you, you've got this incredible resource, this new book that's coming out, and I've told you a little bit about our audience, and they're listening in from all over the country and all over the world. How would you encourage them?
You know, I would believe for every person listening to this that God's plan for you is bigger than you think. It's better than you think. God is good. God does good. God is able to work all things together for good. And whatever lie of the enemy you've believed, I want you to know that the truth of the Word of God is far more powerful than the lie of the enemy. And God put you on this earth so that you can have not just life and not just exist, but you can have life more abundant. You can come out of hiding and be the you He's created you to be, and you can do what He's put you on this earth to do.
Christine, you have encouraged us tremendously today, and we're thankful for your time, and we're excited about seeing you at the Business Boutique.
Thanks, Chris. Loved being on the show. Thank you.
Well, folks, I pray that was exactly what you needed to hear today. I pray that perspective not only changes your day, but it changes your week. It changes your month, perhaps the trajectory of your life, as we all seek to change our perspective, to leverage our past for God's glory. And what an example Christine Cain is for us when it comes to doing just that, to leveraging a past for God's glory. Again, the book is titled Unashamed, and it comes out on May 10th, and we will provide a link at stewardship.com for you to get more information on pre-ordering this great book as you look to drop the baggage in your life, to pick up your freedom, and to fulfill your destiny. And before we go, speaking of dropping your baggage and picking up your freedom and fulfilling your destiny, remember, you can do that with your finances as well by getting the Financial Peace University and Legacy Journey ebook for only $99 at stewardship.com. Be sure to check that out at stewardship.com as we all seek to get better and better every day. And until next time, folks, let's continue to manage those daily decisions God's way and for God's glory. God bless you.